history of planet Earth. And I love saying that. I just love it. It just drives the atheists nuts. That's just actually a short putt. That would not be a drive, okay, for some of them. That'd be a real short putt. But we're not trying to make them angry. We're trying to get them converted. We believe the Bible is true. God made the world in 6 days, just like he said he did. And the evolution theory is dumb. Mucho el dumbo. But hey, that's okay. If you believe it, we're sorry that they taught you that at our expense in the tax-funded government schools. You need to go back to public schools where the public actually runs them instead of government schools where the government runs them. But if you want to join us on the program, we are the right-wing radicals and open ourselves up for ridicule and exposure for an hour and a half every day for nearly 3 years now, Robert. We've been letting people call in. If they disagree, hey, here's your golden opportunity. Take your best shot. There are nearly 2,000 Antihoven websites, and only 4 have ever called in, to my knowledge. Oh, no, don't run off with that. Okay, I'm going to watch that. Yeah, what I saw, so Dan, take that DVD. I said, man, I watched a few minutes of that. That is great.
America's Beginnings.
America's Beginnings. Same folks that did the Megiddo film. The two Megiddo films that we sell, Megiddo 1, 2, 3, or 3 of them, I think. Two, I don't remember. Oh, they're awesome. Two of them, yeah. Really good. Oh, who cares? Let's get back to the topic here. And we have, take your questions here live. You can call in 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Or if you're outside the country, you got to call 850-479-DINO, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, or you can email us on our website, drdino.com. When I started doing my radio program 17 years ago, I drove all the way to Milton, Florida, which is 15 miles away, 7 in the morning on Saturday. Every Saturday, 7 in the morning, on a 1,000-watt station, which means they could probably hear you next door, maybe, if they had their antenna tuned just right, you know? And I spoke for an hour every day for months, every Saturday. I don't know if anybody was listening, but it really forced me to put my thoughts together, and I developed my sequence of topics to cover, and that became my seminar. So the Lord knew what he was doing, getting me in there. And how did I get off on all that? Anyway, that started Creation Science Evangelism along with a couple other things. So, Leah's got a couple testimonies to read to us. We got a few people that are upset, Leah?
Just one.
There are more than that out there.
I know.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, the first one is by Lisa Harrison. She says, my son Jay, 16, just won the social studies fair at school on February 15th, 2006 of this week. His topic was the Dr. Ken Hoven theory. Do you want fact or fiction? We can't believe they picked him to go to LSUS. His report was great, and his board had a lot of your pictures from the seminar notebook. He played your Dr. Hoven theory tape also. I'm so proud of him for his belief in what you teach. His older brother and him saw you in Ruston, Louisiana, and they spread your tapes all over. It's their ministry. We love you.
Wow. Awesome. Played my tapes. You know, it's surprising. I get calls and letters from teachers that say, I mean, hundreds and probably even thousands would be safe to say of public school teachers have showed my videos in their public school classroom. They don't ask permission. I tell them, don't ask, just do it. Okay, it's a lot easier to get forgiveness than permission. Did she knock the eggs over, Robert? You have 2 eggs balanced over there. Now, and cracked one of them. Leaned over the table to get the testimonies. Oh, brother. That's why chickens lay eggs, you know, because if they drop them, they'll crack. So they just lay them. Anyway, so you can get a hold of us on the program here. So, got another testimony there, Leah?
Yes. This one is from Mike. It says, so why are you so stupid?
Wait. How do you defend against a position? You know, why are you so ugly? Hello, be specific, okay? Why am I so stupid? Well, Mike, let me stop right there and say, I don't know that I am. I have an IQ over 160. I have 2 PhDs, one in education, one in theology. A PhD in education and a doctor's degree in theology. And let him out there so he can get rid of that cracked egg. It's going to drip all over the studio here. We don't want that. Okay. I've done 100 debates at universities. Against professors. I've had 4,000 refuse to debate me. Why am I so stupid? Mm-mm. I read prolifically. I'm willing to take on any evolutionist on their favorite topic. If they're a biologist, I'll debate them on biology. If they're a geologist, I'll debate them on geology. I don't think stupid's the right way to describe me.
No, I think you're a genius.
I don't know about that, but oh, go ahead. Okay.
Okay. Are you a scientist?
Wait. Who gets to decide? Who decides who's a scientist? I can tell you right now, in his mind, if you don't believe in evolution, you're not a scientist, and therefore, all scientists believe in evolution. Oh, that's brilliant. You know, I guarantee that's the way his thinking process goes. Go, am I a scientist? Well, a scientist is a person who studies science. Science means knowledge. Knowledge accumulated by, you know, observations, experimentation, testing. Yes, I taught science 15 years. Speak on the topic now, you know, 900 plus times a year. I guess I would qualify. I don't know. Who gets to decide? I tell you what, if I get to decide, then yes, I am. How's that? Fair enough. Okay. If he gets to decide, I'm sure the answer is no. Am I a scientist? Okay, go ahead, Leah.
Okay. Next part, he's just bashing you. He's like, do you actually know what the blank you're talking about?
Sure, pick a topic. I know pretty much what I'm talking about on a lot of topics.
No.
Let's see. I've had 127 cars, I think. I've rebuilt the engines, the transmissions. I've done body work. I have built 9 houses. I can do electrical, plumbing, heating, brickwork, concrete work, surveying, taught algebra, geometry, trig. Do I know what I'm talking about? How do I answer that question? On what topic? Sure, okay.
And he says, no, you're taking things out of the Bible to support your theory.
The Bible? Yeah, that's true. I do. I don't take them out of the Bible. They stay there, but I copy from it. I read it, okay?
The Bible is literature. If you want to believe in it, go for it.
But
it is not scientific.
Oh, no, I disagree.
Right.
You've been in the library science for quite a while, Leah, studying this for a long time, okay?
Yes, sir.
Literature includes, I suppose, all topics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Are these science books? How many science textbooks do we have? You categorized them. Couple of hundred, to be safe to say? 300 maybe?
Yeah, about.
Okay. Is that considered literature? Part of the literary library? You know, yeah, it's a library. I don't know. The Bible is literature. Yeah, I agree it's literature, but it's also, when it deals with science, it is scientifically accurate. Okay. Now, I don't know of any scientific statements. I don't know of any statements at all in the Bible that are not scientific, at least where it's scientifically wrong. I can show you stuff in other religions, you know, books that are just wrong. Like the Quran says the sun sets in a pond of murky water at night. I doubt that. Seriously, that'd be a huge pond. Since the sun is 880,000 miles in diameter and the earth is 8,000 miles in diameter, where are you going to put a pond that big? And isn't that going to be kind of hard on the sun to sit in the pond of murky water all night? I mean, isn't that going to, like, either boil the water or cool the sun? Something ain't going to work there. Okay, I just got a feeling that ain't going to work. Go ahead.
Evolution is considered scientific fact.
Hey, wait. I need, what's his name again?
Mike.
Mike. Mike, you need to call into the program, okay? 877-479-DINO, extension 136, because I think I can help you. I don't know, but I think I can. You need to define what you mean by evolution.
Mm-hmm.
There are 6 meanings to the word.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, i.e. microevolution, is indeed scientific.
Right.
None of the rest of them are. Okay, go ahead, Leah. I'll keep interrupting you, but you got to. You got to bite these guys off a little bit at a time and say, wait, stop, think, you know, come on, think.
Yeah. Evolution is considered scientific fact. Sure, it's a theory, but it actually makes sense, not total bull like creationism.
Wait a minute. Evolution makes sense. Let's see. Nothing exploded, made everything.
And here we are.
Okay, we'll be back, folks, right after the break and finish polluting the airways with this idiocy. Thank you. Be right back. Welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind, Robert Sager, and Leah, live on the phone, our librarian here. Go ahead.
Yes, it's March 21st. I don't let you say it anymore because you usually get
I mess it
day.
Up, don't I? It's March 21st. Not only do I not know, I don't care, okay? It'll be gone tomorrow and I have to do another one. And we're live here in Pensacola, Florida, discussing the idea that the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth, and that's why some of these guys who believe in it write me these nasty letters, but that's fine. I can handle it. I got real thick skin. I've handled it for, 17 years. Somebody said, Dr. Oven, I heard somebody forced you to do something. I said, nobody forces me. My wife don't force me to do things after 33 years. She's given up, you know. It's like, I don't push, you know. Show me what you want, and I'll do it. Okay, so Leah's reading some testimonies here. You can call us on the program. Phone calls come first, 877-479-DINO, extension 0136. Go ahead, Leah.
All right, continuing with Mike. He says, if you were a scientist, maybe you wouldn't be so stupid about what you're saying. You really have no idea what you're talking about, and you really need to stop.
Now, what on earth did he say in there that I can defend myself against? Are there any specifics at all?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Well, all Mike, opinion.
Mike, I'm sorry you feel that way. Call in. We'll try to help you, son, okay? That may be Mike calling. I hope so. Mike, you're welcome to call anytime. 877-479-DINO. Extension 136. Do you know there are very few, I mean maybe even none, but certainly there are very few evolutionists that open themselves up for phone calls and questions every day because they would quickly be shut down. They don't do that. More testimonies in just a minute. Who's on the phone there, Robert?
Brandon from Wisconsin.
From Wisconsin. Brandon. Yes, Brandon. Go ahead.
Hi. Can you hear me?
I hear you just great.
How are you doing today, Doctor?
I'm doing well. Actually, I'm getting old.
Are you?
Today's the oldest I've ever been.
That would be true.
Yes, sir. Steady race to the grave, and I'm winning. No, I'm doing okay, other than my son-in-law's in the hospital. Pretty serious cancer. We was up there, took him in last night, and real bad shape. His hemoglobin counts down to zero, so I only got about 3 hours sleep last night, but... I'm still going.
That's too bad. My niece is in the hospital, too, with another lung surgery.
Yep.
To get the cancer out.
Yeah, his is inoperable. The doctor said there's absolutely nothing we can do. Zero. So, anyway, go ahead, Brandon. What's your question?
My question is, I watched a video of yours called about nutrition and the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And in there, because I'm interested in trying to get healthy and trying to change my life around and try and be better, and...
Right.
You mentioned there's three kinds of vitamins. There's synthetic, natural, and live, right?
Correct.
Okay. So how do I know which multivitamin that I'm taking is live?
It's a good question. You probably would have to know the company that produces it. And live may not be the proper word. I don't know of a better word. But here's the example is if I gave you two piles of seed corn to go plant a garden, and I said, I want you to take pile number one and go cook it like you're going to eat it.
Right.
After you cook it to eat, now go plant it. Will it grow?
Right. It won't grow. Yeah, I heard you said that. But I guess what I'm really getting at here is when they make the vitamins, I don't know how the whole process goes, but they have to use a low amount of heat. You mentioned a company that you said that you take, and I tried to look it up. I'm not exactly sure of the spelling, but I got something that I thought was close to. What was it that you take?
Well, Shaklee, Shaklee.
Yeah, I think that was the one that I looked up.
They don't, they're no, advertised no place except they're, it's all, you know, direct marketing through, you know, distributors. And of course, then they're going to want to get you to sign up and become a distributor and make $1 million, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. I've seen that. Yep.
Yeah. That, and a lot of people do it. And it's a great company to work for. I don't, my wife and I were real high up in Shaklee, supervisors. And when I got started in ministry, I said, I quit. I'm stopping everything. I don't want anybody to think that I am using my, public speaking, you know, to build a business, because I am not.
Right.
So I do zero, nothing, dropped everything with it, you know, because I don't want any implication. But I still think they are fabulous vitamins. I've been taking them for 20-some years and highly, highly recommend them.
Well, I guess what I'm trying to get at here is you think that when they process them, they don't use heat, which kills the live vitamins, and they're still preserved, and they're still better for you than... some other companies that use more heat?
That appears to be correct. You know, the Egyptians, for instance, took wheat and stuck it in bushels, in baskets, in with their pharaohs, and stuck them in a pyramid and buried them. 3,500 years later, they open up the pyramid, plant the wheat, and it grows.
Really?
Now, there's something, there's something alive in seeds. Okay.
Yep.
Until you cook it at a certain temperature, it dies. Probably the enzyme. Maybe Robert can chip in here in a minute. But here's the thing. There is something alive in food, and alive may not be the right word, but I can't think of a better one, okay? So if you take oranges, for instance, and squeeze them and get the juice, and then you spread it out in a pan in the sun and let it dry out, sun-dried, it will turn into a powder eventually, which you can scrape together and pack it into a capsule and call it vitamin C.
Right.
But meanwhile, you got to keep the flies off, and it takes a long time to dry this thing out. Okay, so you got to pay somebody to the fly swatter to stand there. Okay.
Right.
So that's going to raise the cost. The other way is to get your orange juice, put it in a bucket, and put a torch under it and boil it, and get rid of the water very quickly, and you can.
That kills it.
That's what kills it. That's the whole thing. So there are companies that go to the extra expense to make it right, and their philosophy seems to be, I don't care what it costs. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it right. When I'm done, I'm going to tack on my 30%, and that's what I'm going to charge for it.
You know? Okay. So what you're saying is there's really no way to tell unless you actually contact the company? There's nothing in the label or anything that would tell you that?
Well, yeah. See, that one of the reasons Shaklee won't compete in stores, I mean, if their vitamin C is $7 a bottle and they put it next to the Walmart vitamin C at $2 a bottle,
Nobody
will buy it.
I looked at the prices. They didn't seem that outrageous.
No, they're not bad. I've been taking them for years. I probably spend $300 or $400 a year on vitamins.
Yeah.
Well, that's cheaper than health insurance.
Exactly. And that's kind of the road I want to go down to.
Yeah.
But you really don't see any way for me when I go to GNC or if I go to Walmart or Walgreens or something like that. There's no way to be sure that the vitamins, any of the different kinds, there's no way to be sure that they're live.
I don't know. You probably can check and see. Maybe Robert, chip in here. Is cold pressed? Is that the word they want to look for?
Cold press or flash dried?
Flash dried.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Different. That's probably one of the best ways of that they can process it now. But getting the vitamin C and different vitamins. I just use herbs, just organic.
Straight from the plant.
Straight from the plant, and then,
rather than have somebody process it out of the plant.
Right. They take one. They take something out of it. I mean, God, that's what the form that God has given it to us. It has, God must know the different chemicals and minerals that need to be there for our body to use it and assimilate it. For example,
right.
For our body to use calcium, silica has to be present. So if we go to, if we take seashells, extract calcium out of it, and one, it wouldn't be live, and two, it would be missing the silica. The body will store it until silica is present or several other trace minerals that the body needs to use it. So I'd say get the plant, but if you are going to get vitamins, flash-dried is usually pretty good.
Okay.
All right, makes sense.
Okay, thank you for that information. When you say the other two, synthetic and natural, is there any value to them at all?
Robert, give it to Robert again here. We'll read your testimony in a minute. Any value to synthetic vitamins? This is where the scientists look at this, look at what God did in nature and say, hey, we can do it better, like the $6 million man. You know?
Yeah.
I don't think they can do it better.
I'd say the same thing. And for them to make it synthetic, it wouldn't be live. For example, we have a cereal we used to make, me and my dad in California, is wheat berries. And what you do is you'd soak it overnight, and then you'd boil some water, stick it in the water, and you'd slow cook it. And the way you knew if it was still live is you take the wheat berry and you'd go out to the backyard and you'd plant it. And if it would sprout, well, then it still had life in it. You could do the same thing with, go grab a loaf of bread, stick to that same thing, and whichever one grows, you know that one's live.
Yeah, you figure if the bacteria won't eat it, you probably shouldn't either.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in gardens, the plants that die first are the ones that aren't healthy. Most plants will develop a natural or have a... put off some kind of smell. If they're healthy enough, the bugs won't attack
right.
them because they're not looking for live. They're looking for something that's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're the
cleanup
crew.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, plagues come
so,
through. Yeah.
Now, like, when I cook my tomatoes and my stuff like that, my potatoes and all that stuff, am I killing all the vitamins?
You've got to really low heat them and...
What's that?
You should eat about 80% raw. You'd be safe.
Dan, I think I eat about 0% raw.
Okay.
How do you feel? How's your energy level?
Not the greatest.
There you go. Hey, we got a 2-minute break. Hang on. We'll be right back, okay?
Okay.
All right, hang on. Be back in 2 minutes, folks. Good evening, folks. Welcome to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind, Robert Sager, and even Leia here live today.
We'll get March 21st.
We'll get Leia back on in just a minute. We're discussing. You can call us on the program. We are the Right Wing Radicals. Actually, we're just plain right, you know.
Yeah.
I like Truth Radio. We got the truth right here, so call in. And you can call us 877-479-DINO. 877-479-DINO, extension 136. Do not leave a message. How many messages on that phone, Robert?
Now we have 13 new ones.
Okay.
I have to check them.
Yeah, we check them once a month, whether we need to or not, right?
Yeah.
Just, if you want to leave a message, go to 110. That's Glenda, my secretary, or 113, my scheduling secretary, and she'll, if you want me to come speak somewhere. Or just start poking numbers. Who knows? You know, just hit some numbers. We've got extensions all over this place. We'll eventually get to them. And you can join us on the program, or you can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live, AOL instant message. Okay, and Brandon on the phone still, right?
Yep, I'm here.
Okay, Brandon. Go ahead. Robert was telling you about synthetic vitamins and...
Okay, I just got an email from the Bartman, 47. For more information on cooking vegetables without destroying the nutrients, inform the caller about Salad Master Cookware.
Salad Master Cookware.
Haven't heard of that one before, but I think he's saying since it's it might be stainless steel. See, the health topic could go on and on
For
There's
years.
Just so many things.
Here's the thing.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
People give their health in order to get money. They work themselves into the ground to make more money, and then they give their money to get their health back.
Right.
Not too bright.
I would try to...
Aluminum is really serious, bad to cook in.
That's what I think he was getting at. Any heavy metals besides stainless steel, it gets into your system.
Here's the problem, though. The amount you get in your system through aluminum cookware is significant, but it's nothing compared to what you get in the system through a vaccination. Here they stick it straight into the vein.
Yeah.
At least when you eat food, it has to go through your digestive system, and you got a chance of fighting some of it off, you know.
Right,
but when they
stream.
Stick it straight in the bloodstream, like, man.
What about aluminum cans? How do you feel about them?
Oh, I wouldn't eat out of aluminum for nothing.
I don't
yeah,
know.
I drink.
Haven't there been some studies and it doesn't do a whole lot? I mean, there's some. But does aluminum get into the Coke and all that stuff?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I just heard don't cook out of aluminum cookware. It's like an antibiotic. Antibiotics have heavy minerals in them.
Yeah.
And it kills your friendly flora in your system. You have more bacteria cells in your body than you do have animal cells. And it's like a symbiosis relationship. So you take in these heavy minerals. I mean, they're brainless. They're not live for sure. And anything they come in contact with, whether it's good for you or if it's a invading bacteria that's negative toward your system, doesn't care. And it will kill either one of them. So it kills the friendly flora like Candida albicans, which helps break down sugars in your body, and some other ones that help produce vitamin B12. I try to keep it as simple as possible. And the School of Natural Healing where I went, their thing was fresh fruits, vegetables, whole grains, nuts, and seeds. And organic.
I'll tell you what, next time you're real hungry, go to the grocery store and walk down the fruit, vegetable aisle, and your body kind of tells you, man, that sounds good. I wish I had one of them right now, you know? I crave avocados, which means, and I went to Mexican today for lunch and got guacamole, I get a huge bowl of guacamole. Because this one place, all they do is get avocados and smash them up. Here you go, we'll call it guacamole. Well, I could eat, you know, I love that stuff. When I was in Hawaii eating the papaya right off the tree, oh, man. You know, your body kind of tells you what you need if you don't have it, you know, deceived by all the sugar tastes, you know.
Right.
Pregnant women can definitely. They eat something as a kid and they'll crave it. The body has a memory somehow that when they're pregnant, they're like, oh, I need
a pickle.
Peach.
Yeah, on top of this ice cream. Yeah,
there you go.
Right. Right. One more quick thing, okay. Mr. Hovind, if you don't mind. Have you ever heard of a company called Glyconutrients?
I have. I read quite a bit about it here in the last couple of days, actually. Somebody gave me some stuff. It looks real good. I've never tried them.
My niece is sick with cancer, and her mom contacted them, and she said they were really, really pushy, and they kept bugging her and bugging her and bugging her, and I don't know if I'm afraid that they just kind of prey on people's guilt.
As far as... That would have nothing to say about the product itself. That is the marketing of the product. The product itself.
Does it actually work, though?
Oh, I don't know. I think I read a bunch about it in the last couple of days. Somebody at the last meeting I was at in Nebraska, I think. Where was I at last week? Nebraska. They gave me some stuff on it, and I read through it. Have you studied anything on glyconutrients? the real tiny sugars, super small sugar molecule. Of course, it was their advertising, you know, that I'm reading. Of course, it's going to sound good, but
right.
I would trust Bill Sardi. Go to BillSardi.com, S-A-R-D-I.
Okay.
Now, that's not actually his website. It has his name, Bill Sardi, but he gets so many bazillion hits a day that it'll take you straight to, I think it's KnowledgeOfHealth.com.
Okay.
But go to BillSardi.com. I'll get you there. He's a good friend of mine in California, genius on nutrition. And ask him about glyconutrients.
Okay, I will do that.
Right?
Thank you very much for your time, Dr. Hovind.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. You can call in, folks. Our one lonely phone line is about to be open, 877-479-DINO. Leo, you got to watch all these buttons he's pushing. If he dies, you got to take over. Now, don't confuse her, Robert. Don't confuse her. Okay. Okay. And you can call in 877-479-DINO, extension 136, and we will take your phone calls here and discuss the fact that the Bible is true and evolution is dumb. El dumbo. Stupid. Oh, there's somebody calling in. One more testimony from Leah in just a moment. Okay, after we take the phone call. And we have all kinds of instant messages here at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive. We apologize. One lonely phone line to the studio. Lots of lines to the station. I mean to the ministry here. So, you know. Call in, ask him to put you on hold until the line comes open, if you like. I don't know if that'll work or not. And then the secretaries are all going home now, so that won't work, will it? I don't know how to resolve this one, Leah. Other than we've got to spend another $25 a month for another line. That is just what we need, another bill around here. Okay. All right. Let me take a couple of these while Robert sorts out the phone call. Here's one from Gary Kroll, who emails us or instant messages us and says, where did Cain find his wife? Well, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 5, Adam lived after he begat Seth 800 years and begat sons and daughters. How many kids could you have in 800 years? I would say you could have several. Probably several hundred. So, Cain married one of his sisters. That's not a big deal. I mean, Adam married his rib, okay? So, it's not a big deal at all. It was common all through history to marry sisters. I mean, even up until 200 years ago, Charles Darwin, for heaven's sake, married his first cousin on purpose because he thought they would get superior children because he thought he was smart and therefore his cousin must be smart, therefore their kids would be turned out smart. Turned out it didn't work, but anyway. Well, who's on the phone there, Robert?
Shelton from British Columbia.
Shelton, British Columbia. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
How are you?
Doing great.
That's good. Well, first of all, I called you yesterday and left a message, but at your office there. But I had a girl from, I believe it was China, wanted to be converted, but somehow I along the way. I was wondering if you could help me out.
Okay, I missed part of that. Somebody from China wanted to be converted, and you lost them along the way?
Yeah.
What do you mean you lost him?
Well, basically, she told me to get lost in a little bit colorful language.
Hmm. Well, what were you doing that made her say that?
Actually, I'm not sure what made her say that.
Hmm. I like Ray Comfort's approach. He's got the best I've ever seen toward evangelism. First, he gets them lost. You know, he'll say, oh, you're a good person. Oh, yeah, I'm a good person. They'll say, well, have you ever told a lie? Yeah. Well, that's what make you. Makes me a liar. Okay. Have you ever stolen anything? Well, yeah. What's that make you? Makes you a thief. And he goes through the Ten Commandments and says, you know, how do you measure up? Have you ever lied, stolen, cheated? You know, and of course, they have to say yes to all those. And Robert, we're getting an echo with you here. Is this something, what is that? Can you hear it twice?
Hey, Shelton, are you listening to the computer at the same time? If you can turn the volume down on that, we won't...
Okay.
Okay, there we go. Yeah, we'll talk over the phone here. That's where we're getting it from. Modern electronics. Even at the speed of light, it takes a little second to go to especially to British Columbia. Is it snowing up there?
No, not right now.
Are you anywhere near Kelowna?
No, actually, I'm in the far north.
I've never been to the far north, B.C. I've been to Alaska a bunch of times, but...
Yeah.
I need to get up there sometime.
Can still barely hear it. Do you got it all the way down, Shelton?
Did okay.
You turn the volume down?
Yeah, on the computer because it rings back through or says something. Okay. Anyway, so start over with your question again then.
Okay. So,
the Chinese girl that you lost her.
I was wondering if you could help me with, or give me some ideas for trying to convert someone that wants to be converted?
Well, first, you got to make sure that they're really lost. When I was lifeguard, I learned that if I jump in and start rescuing people that don't think they're drowning, they get angry. Jump in the pool and drag somebody out. Say, "What are you doing?" But once they realize, once they think they're drowning and they want to be rescued, it's a whole different story. So, I think first you get them lost, and that's what the Ray Comfort approach is really good at.
He goes over a great verse. He says, "The law is perfect in converting the soul."
Yeah.
So that's his approach. He goes to the law with them,
and
that's
the same. Psalm 19.
Same way I was saved was I went to the Ten Commandments, and Ray Comfort says it's like 10 great cannons pointing at you, and you don't know what to do.
And you fall on your knees and say, "Lord, have mercy on me. You know, I'm a sinner." So if you make sure the person's good and lost, the rest is easy.
Yeah, his website is
livingwaters.com.
Okay.
And he's got a school on there, School of Evangelism, you can take. He's a good friend of mine. Tell him I said hi. But it's really, I think the proper approach toward evangelism and soul winning.
Okay, yeah.
And see, salvation is real simple. Jesus did all the work, and you just accept it. Just like when you got your first gift of physical life from your parents, you know, they did the work, paid the bills, went through the pain, and you got a free gift.
Yeah.
Okay, physical life. Well, Jesus did the work and went through the pain and paid the bills, and you get a free gift of eternal life. And just like you got the first one, you know, just by receiving it, you get the second one by receiving it. On my website, Dr. Dino, you can click on how to be saved, and there's a good explanation with quite a few illustrations that'll help. Because sometimes illustrations help people understand and see spiritual truths.
Okay.
Okay?
Thanks.
You're welcome. Call anytime.
Bye.
All right. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye. All right, Leah, before the phone rings again, hurry and get your last testimony. You got a lot of work to do in the library, I know. Sorry about that.
All right. The last one is by David A. Brown, and he says, "Dr. Hovind, I would just thought you might like to know that effective July 1st, 2006, Indiana will have a new textbook accuracy law. It is House Bill number 1388, Citations Affected, IC 20-20-5-5.1. The State Board shall not adopt a textbook if the State Board knows the textbook contains information, descriptions, conclusions, or pictures that are false."
Is that? That's not from Bruce Borders, is it?
David A. Brown.
David A. Brown. Bruce Borders is an Indiana representative who has been calling me, and I've been calling him for the last year over this issue. You know, sharp guy, wants to do what's right. When next time you have an election, keep Bruce Borders and guys like him in the office. I mean, for heaven's sake.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from Illinois. Now, these Midwesterners are generally pretty smart, okay? But they got to have somebody with a brain in there, too. That's good.
He says it's about time.
Now, will they enforce it is the question. Let me see that one. That's awesome. That's his David A. Brown. Awesome. Well, David, if you're listening, thank you. That's good to know. I'm going to look up the citation number. Now, here's what's going to happen. The atheists and evolutionists are going to try desperately to twist this and say, "Oh, you're trying to get creation in schools," you know, because they know they can win that battle. The courts have already ruled you can't require creation be taught. So they're going to try to twist it into a battle they can win, because this one they cannot win. Their whole theory is based on lies. Okay. Thank you, Leah. Thank you for all your 45 minutes. It's just to read three testimonies, but get back to work, okay? Save that one. I'm going to look up that Indiana House bill number. Okay, Robert, who's on the phone there?
We have David from Washington.
David from Washington. Yes, David.
Hello?
Yes, sir. You're on the air live, talking to millions of people.
I was wondering, I was looking through your question and answer session, and you were talking about something that who sold Joseph
into slavery, right?
Who did it? Because in Dr. Henry Morris' Bible, the Defender Study Bible, says that the people who start with an M, I don't know.
Midianites.
And the Ishmaelites, those are the two exact same things. But it says that how do you pronounce it with the M?
Midianites?
Yeah, Midianites.
Yeah, all
sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites.
Right. Well,
so that can't be... so that can't be right. He said it's an error in there.
I know. I love Henry Morse. He just died a couple weeks ago, okay? And now he knows, okay? He should not have done that in his footnotes in his Bible to say there are errors in the Bible because there are no errors, okay? Everything's fine. Who sold Joseph? Okay, I cover this. Slide number 651 out of 1,312 slides. Genesis 37, verse 36 says, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt unto Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's guard, Pharaoh's and captain of the guard. Genesis 39 says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites. Well, apparently, they were the middlemen, the actual brokers, okay? Midianite, if you read Genesis 37:28, you'll find your answer. Genesis 37:28, and there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites.
But does that mean that Joseph's brothers didn't sell him?
Correct. Apparently, the brothers sold him to the Midianites, who got him up out of the pit and made a deal right away to the Ishmaelites. I mean, it's all right there in one verse.
I know, but in Acts, it's in Acts somewhere, Stephen says that Jacob's sons, they sold Joseph to the Pharaoh.
Well, technically they did. It's a simple chain of command, you know. They sold him, and he ended up in Pharaoh's. Like if we say, you know, somebody sold arms to the Chinese, well, it might have gone through several dealers along, brokers along the way. Like
well,
the general.
They didn't sell them. Didn't the Midianites take them out? Take Joseph out, I mean?
Well, I think the New Testament there's filling in the details that the brothers actually sold him to the Midianites, who then sold them to the Ishmaelites, who then sold him to Pharaoh. That's common. By the time the bread gets on your table, it's been through a lot of hands, you know. The broker bought it, who sold it to the grocer, who the wholesaler sold it to the retailer, who sold it to the customer. So I don't think that. I think it's just a series of events here that's common sense.
All right.
Okay?
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. All right. All right, folks, you can join us on the program here. 877-479-DINO, extension 136. 877-479-DINO. Dino, extension 136. Or you can instant message us at Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive, and we'll be glad to take your questions here. All right, I'm finally going to get to some of the instant messages here. Gets busier every day. We finished where Cain got his wife. Okay, here's one from Brett Larson. When is the next creation boot camp? My wife and I want to be the first to sign up. God bless you. Well, Brett, it's more complicated than it sounds, but we had a hurricane here about a year and a half ago, okay? It tore up the town really bad. Many major auditoriums that are capable of handling the size crowd that come to our boot camp are out of commission still. Or, though few that are back in commission are absolutely swamped with people wanting to meet there because it's hard to find a place. So, with all that said, we have looked very seriously at the option of having boot camp right here at Dinosaur Adventureland this September. I'm not saying we're going to do it, but we'll be announcing soon. If we think we can handle it, we just might have it right here. Okay, folks, we'll be back in about a minute and a half for the fourth segment, doesn't matter, of Creation Science Hour and a Half. All right, folks, welcome back to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind and Robert Sager, Leia's gone back to work in the library, trying to get everything done. And what's today?
It's the 21st.
March 21st, and the eggs did stand up.
And they did.
And they did. Now, we've got to try it tomorrow, and the next day, and every other day from now on.
I was reading on a website yesterday. That's the only reason I tried today was they said it was a hoax.
It'll do it any day.
You can get it any day. But I'll find out tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, interesting. Okay. Who cares? Well, you can join us on the program here. We believe the Bible is literally true and scientifically accurate, and the evolution theory being taught in our schools in violation of the First Amendment is the dumbest and most dangerous religion in the history of planet Earth. And if you believe it, shame on you, okay? Think about it. Use some common sense, man. Open your eyes, open your brain just a little bit so we can drop an intelligent thought in there today that says, you know, maybe you didn't come from a rock. Maybe all animals produce after their kind, exactly like the Bible says. I mean, just maybe that's correct, you know? Maybe there was a big flood. I'm hoping Ian Juby was going to call in. Did you ever email him, Ian Juby, get a website?
No, I didn't get an email from him.
Glenda was going to try to get a hold of him, but Ian Juby sent me a DVD of the Joggins, Nova Scotia, petrified trees in the standing position. He has spent years up there. He's from Canada. He spent years up there studying these things. Hundreds and hundreds of petrified trees are found standing up, running through all these rock layers. Now, the textbooks tell you these layers are different ages. Now, you're from California. It's a little drier in California. How long does a dead tree stand up in California before it falls down?
It doesn't.
A couple years?
Yeah, a couple years. It seems like just that evidence alone would get them thinking. And there's all kinds of instances like this.
You're right.
We're willingly ignorant. You're right.
Bible says God will send them strong delusion because they don't want to believe him. Okay, he'll say, I'll just make it easy on you then. Poof. He'll hit you with his dumb stick, you know, turn you dumb. And you believe you came from a rock and think you're smart. Oh, wow, look how smart I am. I believe I come from a rock. Duh. Think about it, okay? All right. So, boot camp. Question from Brett Larson. You can instant message us, Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLev. Brett, we've had several meetings about this. There are three great events we do here every year. One is, we just started, went awesome, our homeschool appreciation day. That was fabulous. Wasn't that neat? The place was crawling with people.
Oh, yeah, it was awesome. It had kids running all over the place.
Yeah.
Everyone happy.
Everyone dressed up old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Not everybody, but a lot of them. Mm-hmm. It was cool. And you taught classes on?
One class. I did five of them during the day. It was herbal remedies.
Same class five times.
Yep.
Right, okay. Herbal remedies. So that's one thing we do is the homeschool appreciation. We could do, you know, Christian school appreciation, public school appreciation, pastor's appreciation, you know, atheist appreciation day. We should do that. Come on out, man. We'll educate you. And then we do our science camps in the summer. You can come on science camps. And then the boot camp. Now, we had 2005 boot camp went awesome. 2006 boot camp. I got the speakers, I got everything lined up except the place to have it. And the question is, can we get this place ready in time to have it here? I don't know. We can run off generators and put a big tent down on the, you know, the empty lots behind you guys' house over there.
Yeah.
We got nearly 3 acres over there. But then people would have to walk a half a block to get back and forth. That wouldn't be too bad. Anyway, so Brett, keep asking, okay? Well, we should know in the next week or so. We're working on that. It's on the list, which, by the way, doesn't mean much around here because our list gets longer and longer. How many things you got on your list now, Robert, to do?
At least 50.
Yeah, okay. Well, focus on everything, okay? Just get it all done. Here we go. Here's the letter from, I didn't miss the name here, date submitted. Oh, Sean, Sane. S-E-A-N. Sean, I guess it's not Sean. Sean, I am a believer. I told someone about the watch theory last night, and they agreed that if there was a watch, there had to be a designer creator, and therefore it's impossible for the earth not to have one. But that he said, it must be impossible for God then not to have a creator, some more powerful force than him. How would you answer this? Okay, Sean, there has to be at some point, because then if somebody says, okay, the creator had a creator, then the next question is, well, who's the creator's creator's creator? And you can go forever and ever and ever. At some point, you're going to have to say, hold it, who's the origin? Who started all this? Now, the God of the Bible claims that there is no other God, that he is the eternal one. Here's the problem. We are stuck in time. All we understand is time, space, matter. We cannot comprehend things outside of this. So, yeah, I can't understand that God is not in 2006 exclusively. How can you be in multiple times at the same time? I have a hard enough time functioning just one place at one time, keeping everything straight. What if you had to be all places at all times, all at the same time? You'd have to be awfully smart to be able to handle all that data coming in, right?
Yeah.
You think about a dragonfly, you know, with 5,000, you know, eyes all pointing to his brain, all given this data. His brain's got to sort out all this stuff coming from all sides. Think about God, how smart. So all I can tell you is I don't understand it, but he claims that he is eternal. He claims he was not created. He is the creator. He is the origin of time, space, and matter. He started it. I guess part of the problem is we always try to assume that God is limited by things that we are limited by, i.e. time, space, matter. People always try to bring God down so they don't have to worship him. I don't think it's possible for the human brain to wrap around all that stuff. All I can do is say, I take his word to be true. He said these things about himself. He said he's eternal. And he said he's all-powerful. And I believe it. I have taken that by faith. I trust that. Now, could I prove it scientifically? Absolutely not. Don't believe so. Some things about it probably could be, but no, the whole concept is probably beyond human comprehension. So, okay.
Can they disprove it scientifically?
You can't disprove it. Right, there you go. It's not falsifiable. You can't you know, prove it false either. Okay, so I hope that helps. Delete this email. And what's that mean?
I don't know. Let me see which one it is.
Delete this email. Huh. Comes across. Okay. A Kingdom Kid writes in. I watched your videos and the Hovind Theory. I cannot get it straight. When the comet was drawn to the stronger magnetic poles, it made the Earth crack and the water reserves came out. So was the ice covered with water? Okay, I have to explain, and it's a two-hour-long video called The Hovind Theory, video number 6, and I don't know that it's true. It seems to answer an awful lot of the questions. So basically, you'd have to understand that 2 Peter chapter 3 says, in the last days, the scoffers would be willingly ignorant of how God made the heavens and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, 2 Peter chapter 3. The original creation, I believe very firmly, had water under the crust of the earth, which is now on top in the form of oceans, and it had water above the atmosphere, which in the form of probably an ice canopy, suspended 10 or 15 miles above the surface of the earth, either by the magnetic field or centrifugal force or air pressure or a combination of all three. And that ice canopy collapsed and fell down at the time of the flood. Now, that's all gone. I couldn't prove any of that. It's just a canopy theory. I can give you a couple of verses that seem to indicate that, and I can certainly give you some scientific evidence that says something was different on this planet. When you get, you know, 3-foot dragonflies, you got to say, wait a minute, these things couldn't live today. There's not enough air pressure for bugs that size to live. So obviously something was different. So I cover the Hovind Theory of what destroyed all this. And I don't know that it's true, but the Hovind Theory says, well, an ice meteor struck the Earth, or we went through the tail of the comet. Either way, the result's about the same. And all this ice dumped on the North and South Pole, collapsing the canopy, cracking the crust of the Earth, releasing the water underneath. And so you get the rain for 40 days, which creates heat, actually, latent heat of condensation. But you also have the ice, which creates cold, and a combination of all the factors apparently balanced out where Noah and the Ark could survive. Now, as far as the North and South Pole being covered with ice and the world being underwater, well, you know, ice is water, just hard water. water right now is splashing up against the ice at the South Pole with minimal effect, okay? So I think you could have Earth flooded and still have polar ice caps simultaneously. Ice floats on water, but once it gets thick enough, once it's, you know, a mile thick, it just floats. I mean, it just pushes its way all the way to the bottom. It just can't, the water can't get under it. So it may have floated for a while. There certainly are sedimentary layers under the ice caps. Appear to be sedimentary layers under the ice caps in Greenland. So, you know, I'm not opposed to the idea that the ice may have floated and may have accumulated since the flood and gotten much thicker. Probably did. Okay, but anyway, that's, in a nutshell, part of the Hovind Theory. Watch video number 6, which you can order online. Our award-winning videos, drdino.com, is the website with the new shopping cart that is really cool, that allows people to get stuff without having to go through a lot of red tape. let's see, where'd we leave off here? Doug, 1243, says, hey, I'm putting a web page together about why evolution is a religion with stuff like showing first and second law of thermodynamics, conservation of angular momentum, first five meanings of evolution, saying if you assume they happened with time, then that's a religion. Is there any strong key issues that you would recommend using? Well, I think you first better get a dictionary and define what religion is. Certainly evolution fits that definition. You know, what do you mean by religion? I think the Webster's 98 edition that I used here for my definition was belief in a power or powers that created the universe, which is evolution. Exactly. So, yeah, define evolution, define religion, define, you know, define your terms, and then you can show how that it indeed is, you know. Because certainly nobody's ever seen a dog produce a non-dog. Never. Every farmer on the planet counts on evolution not happening. They count on it. So far it's worked, hasn't it?
Yeah.
They grow a lot of stuff in California. I mean, a whole lot of stuff. And they, so far, every single time. How many seeds have been planted in the last year, do you think, around the world?
Billions and billions.
Is there any chance that any of them are going to produce something other than what they themselves were?
No way.
Not a chance. Not a single chance. Okay. Jesse, Gigi writes in, for your reading humor, National Geographic, August 05, page 97, Dinosaurs Swan Song. Me long, my long. In a rare instant of a vertebrate's behavior being revealed by its fossil, a new species of troodontid dinosaur was found with its head tucked under a forelimb. Oh, you got to be kidding here. He tucked his head under his forelimb. It represents the earliest known example of a dinosaur displaying the sleeping posture exhibited by modern-day birds. You know, if you find a dinosaur with his head tucked under his wing, that's proof that dinosaurs turn to birds. They are so desperate to believe that theory. Dinosaurs turn. Nathan, are you going to come watch the buttons and learn how to do all this? Robert suggested you sit in here and just in case he has to be gone sometime or after, you know. Oh, have a seat. Learn all the buttons over there. Leah learned one of them today, right? In means on and out means off, right? Something like that. Explain it to Nathan there while I take the rest of the questions. You can call, by the way. Our one and only phone line is open. Some people say, I can't get through. Well, you can right now. 877-479-DINO, extension 136. We have basically two microphones, Nathan. And when I'm talking, make sure the mute button's not on because then they can't hear me, okay? That's the mute button right there. Good. And then the volume, if you hear it ringing back, you can adjust the volume. All that other stuff up there, the red ones and blue ones, that's just to adjust.
No, don't touch those.
Don't touch those. They set them for us and said, don't touch them or we'll break your finger. So don't do that. All right. So call in 877-479-DINO. So they talked about the song of the dinosaur, his tucked under his wing. Wow. It will be a long, hot summer. And but will the birdies do den to portings. The old Norwegian folk song. Okay. So they found the dinosaur with his head tucked under his forelimb. The tuck-in pose would have preserved body heat, suggesting that, like birds, at least some dinosaurs were warm-blooded. How do they get that? He put his head under his arm, and therefore he's warm-blooded. Wow. Could it be maybe he was afraid from rocks falling out of the sky? I would put my head under my hand, under my arm, if something was, you know, falling, because I, you know, I'd rather have my arm get damaged than my head. This is a pigeon-sized creature, me long, meaning soundly sleeping dragon. Oh. Though it's not known how the dinosaur died, it probably was killed instantly by a thick deposit of volcanic ash or by volcanic gas followed by a covering of ash and mud. Me long adds to the ever-increasing evidence of bird-dinosaur kinship. You've got to be kidding. Here's the creature with his head under his arm, and he's covered by volcanic ash, and they can't figure out how he died. I bet you'd have to go to college to be that dumb. You'd have to go to college for years to be that dumb. You couldn't do it on your own. You'd have to have help.
Is that another one of those jump, frog, jump?
Jump, frog, jump. It is indeed. Okay, who's on the phone there, Robert?
We've got Leif from Norway.
Leif from Norway. Vore det store til i dag. Oh, you got all the buttons pushed there, Robert? You must not.
He is on.
He's on. Leif, you're on.
I'm on, but you were very, very far away.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm in Florida.
Correct, correct. I'm in Norway. That's quite far. Det står bra til I dag. Takk skal du ha.
Gut.
Gott. Gut is German.
Gut is German.
And Norway.
Gott is Norway. Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Gott. Yeah. I listened to a very interesting program. I have heard you sometimes on Radio Liberty with Stanley Monti.
Oh, yes.
I heard a quite interesting program there about global warming and the face of temperature, that the global warming is not caused by CO2 at all.
Okay, hey, Leif, we have break time for 1 minute, 30 seconds. Can you wait on?
Absolutely.
Okay, hold on one moment. Thank you. Oh, welcome back, folks, to the Creation Science Hour and a Half. Kent Hovind, Robert Sager, live on the program. We have with us Leif from Norway, asking about global warming. Yes, Leif, still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm still here.
Okay, sorry for the delay. Go ahead.
Well, it's like this. They talked about the great hoax of global warming, how that CO2 gas is not at all responsible for the warming effect that we see. In fact, 30 years ago, the CIA spent a lot of money to study the effects of the weather growing colder.
Right.
So they expected the weather to grow colder. And in the time of the Vikings, excuse me, when they visited Greenland, Greenland was really green. Now it's frost all through.
Right.
So there seems to have been a time with a lot warmer climate, even after the flood, with great biological plant life north, far north.
Right, I would agree.
Yeah.
All right.
And the second thing I wanted to take up, why did you use the word incredible?
Incredible.
Yeah, that's incredible. When some people hear, oh, that's incredible. Good, that's incredible. Well, you know, the use of it really means it's not believable. It's not credible. There's no credit to it. So
yeah, that's one of those English idioms. English language has lots.
The Norwegian man. It sounds crazy.
Good point. I'm sorry about that. That's just the way the Americans talk. We don't actually speak English. We speak American.
Yeah, well, that's that's not the only word.
Oh, there are
people
thousands.
Say, "Oh, I heard a good sermon. It was unbelievable."
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah. Well, God bless you.
Hey, thank you so much for calling.
By the way, if anyone wants to listen to that stuff, it's good stuff. Then go to RadioLiberty.com and click on Listen Online, and you'll find archives of the program.
Yeah, I've been on his program several times, doing a great job there. Thanks a lot.
Thanks. Bye bye.
Okay. Bye bye. All right, Leif from Norway. Our one and only phone line is open. We have about 12 minutes left. You can call into the program, 877-479-DINO. Robert, I was just looking ahead. I am here live in the studio all week. And next Monday, I'm here. Tuesday, I'm going to speak in Laurel, Mississippi. Sunday, I speak in Bakersfield, California. But then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, here. The week after that, here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, except Thursday, I go to Kent State to do a debate, but they couldn't find anybody to debate. So I'm going to go speak at Kent State, Ohio.
Great.
And stir up trouble and back home.
We should have plenty of recordings to do our archives.
Yeah, I did a radio program today from South Africa. They called me this morning, you know, because I'm going over there in August to speak, and they said, now, exactly what is it you do? I said, well, I come to your country, and I stir up trouble, and I leave. Oh, okay. My favorite thing to do. That's going to be good. Okay, you can instant messages here. Dr. Dino Live, DrDinoLive.
Okay.
And we believe the Bible is true, and the evolution theory is dumb. Mucho el dumbo. And you can call us on the program and get a hold of us here, or instant messages, Dr. Dino Live, AOL, instant message. Here we go. JTLBB2 writes in. Mark Robin, I have a question. Do rabbits chew the cud? Does cud have a different meaning when the Bible was written, or is that really a bad translation? No. here's the way it works. We have Dan Vallis on our staff that lives over, you guys live in the same, we have the, all the single guys over in one property over there.
Yeah, he's got about 50 rabbits back there now. I think we need to put a limit. No, just kidding.
Yes, 50 rabbits? I have lots of guns here. We could take them out, let them loose in the field.
I just got a pellet gun that's pretty powerful.
Well, my SKS, you know, 30-round clip will take out a lot at one time. My 12 gauge 9-shot shotgun, the street sweeper,
mm-hmm.
9 shots in a row out of a
12. Wow.
If that don't clean the street off, throw the gun at them and run, okay? Anyway, so that would be fun. So the question about rabbits, we know a little bit about rabbits here. Here's the deal. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 3 says, the coney, talking about the rabbit, because he cheweth the cud. And people have argued, aha, rabbits don't chew the cud. Well, now hold on just a minute. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 7. Nevertheless, of those that chew the cud or have cloven hooves, ye shall not eat, such as these, the camel, the hare, the rock hyrax, for they chew the cud, but do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean unto you. There are two different things that happen. Rumination is the word that means to chew again what has been chewed slightly and swallowed. Cows and many animals will ruminate. They chew the food, swallow it, go someplace, sit down, burp it back up into their mouth, chew it again, swallow it again. Each time they digest a little more of it. Refection is to chew again what has been chewed, swallowed, and passed through the body. You can go out and watch the rabbits if you care to watch this. It's kind of a little bit, you know, makes you want to not eat breakfast, okay? But and it sure makes you not want to eat a rabbit, right? But they will eat their food, go all the way through their system, put it out the other end, pick it up, and eat it again. Go watch them. Guaranteed, they do
disgusting.
That.
Disgusting.
So there's another word. You can look, I can't know if I can pronounce this one or not, but I'll spell it to you. You can okay. C-A-E-C-O-T-R-O-P-H-Y. The trophy part, I understand. Caesotrophy, I think. Rabbits practice caesotrophy. C-A-E-C-O-T-R-O-P-H-Y. Where the morning food passes through the digestive tract and is re-swallowed to be digested again. So do they chew the cud? Do they eat again that which was eaten? They certainly do.
That's yep. Right.
Yep, not the same way a cow does. What's that?
Sounds like the Bible.
Sounds like the Bible's true after all. Yep, I believe it is. Okay, here we go. Robert 68 A.D. writes in, why or what does it mean that God cursed the serpent in the Garden of Eden? My understanding is that Satan was chose the form of the serpent, but does that mean all serpents are cursed? Does that include snakes? And since Satan is also referred to as the dragon, is the dragon also a serpent? When God said the seed of the man would bruise the head of the serpent's seed, is there a difference between real serpents, snakes, and dragons, and the fallen angels like Lucifer? Ooh, long question. Let me take this part at a time. What we know is God said to the serpent, you're cursed and you're going to have to crawl on your belly. Now, everybody assumes that means he used to walk. I don't think you can prove that. I think it means he's now cursed and has to crawl, but that could also mean he used to fly, okay? The Bible certainly talks about fiery flying serpents in Isaiah. There are numerous reports in ancient literature about fiery flying serpents. And so I really think it'd be wise to just open our minds just a little further and say, wait, maybe there's more to this, okay? And I cover on videotape number 3, I think, which has 3A, has 539 slides in it. I'm getting there as quick as I can. To see about the fiery flying serpents. Aha, look at that. I went right to it. Okay, yep. That's in seminar part 3, where I cover all kinds of evidence about the... No, maybe it's 3B. I'm close here. Only got a bazillion slides. I'm working on it. Nope, don't find it in there. Fiery flying serpents. Dragons? Blood legends? It's in here somewhere. I'll get there. Just hang on a minute. I'm paying for the program. We can take our time if we'd like. Ah, I got it. Look at that. Okay, made it. All right. Isaiah 14 talks about a fiery flying serpent. If you look up Herodotus on the internet, the Greek historian Herodotus, H-E-R-O-D for Herod, O-T-U-S, he talks about in 440 B.C. that he went to a certain place in Arabia where he inquired about the winged serpents. Upon my arrival, I saw the backbones and ribs of serpents in such numbers as it's impossible to describe. The winged serpent is shaped like the water snake. Its wings are not feathered, but resemble very closely those of the bat. This is Herodotus writing in 440 B.C. Also, Josephus, the works of Josephus, he talked about the fiery flying serpent. So if you look at the Anglo-Saxon Chronicles, that's on the Berserkly website, sunsite, S-U-N-S-I-T-E, dot Berkeley, dot E-D-U. And go to A-D, and get the Anglo, A-N-G-L-O, Saxon, S-A-X-O-N, and Anglo-Saxon Chronicle, go to A.D. 793. They talk about the fiery dragons flying across the firmament. So, there certainly is some historical evidence that indicates there was a flying snake, probably extinct. I'm going to assume they don't exist anymore, but that would be an assumption on my part. So, Satan is called a serpent, he's called the dragon, he's called a lot of things, and, you know, there really are dragons. I mean, there really are serpents, so it doesn't good to, you know, he's called a roaring lion, and he's called a dragon. So, yeah, I think there really was a fiery flying serpent. Was the one in the Garden of Eden a flying serpent that now has to crawl? Possibly. I don't know. Could it walk and now has to crawl? That could be too. I don't know. Bible doesn't give enough clues. Okay, who's on the phone there, Robert?
It's our good friend Jonathan from Pal Talk.
Jonathan, yes, sir. Go ahead.
Hey there. Yeah, I haven't called in a while.
Yes, sir. Glad you called it.
Yeah, they have about the rabbits. This is actually something I just recently happened to read about.
Sure.
Relatively fresh in my memory here. I happened to come across it again and then hear you talking about it there. It's called cecal feces.
Cecal?
That's pronounced. C-A-E-C-A-L.
Cecal feces.
Yes.
That's
cecal feces.
Been through once, needs to go through again.
Right. What happens is, I believe it's when the rabbits eat things, the fiber ferments in their stomach. And while they don't digest it, but it sits separately from the rest of their food and gets separated, and it ferments somehow with their stomach acids or whatever, and then it goes out the other end, partially nutritious. So they get the fiber that they need from that once it's fermented, and they just eat it back again, as opposed to where cows, you know, that comes back up in their mouth and they just chew it and swallow it again.
Right.
Goes out the other way. But that's what it's called.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. That's
now, I talked to a guy once who told me, I don't know that it's true, but he told me that he went to the doctor's office and they said, we want you to take a urine sample. And so the nurse came back in and said, do you have the urine sample? And he'd filled the cup full of apple juice. So the nurse looked at it and said, wow, that looks kind of cloudy. And he said, here, I'll run it through again. And so he drank it, and she fainted. don't do that, but anyway.
No, you wouldn't want to do that. Some people get that idea, and they'd like to try it with beer because it looks the same way.
Or Mountain Dew.
Yeah, I'm sure some college kids would be like, oh, yeah, let me run it through there.
You one more time.
Fresh, refreshing white taste.
There we go. All right.
Yeah, also, there was, something I just forgot I was going to ask about.
Cecal feces. Okay, I got to write that down.
Rats.
All right.
I don't know, I guess.
Well, callback. I got 2 minutes left here. And take anything.
Yeah, I guess, I think that was pretty much it. You mentioned the flying serpent. I remember there was a kite snake. You know what that is, but it doesn't breathe fire.
But it doesn't really have wings, though. It just kind of flattens out its ribs.
Yeah, and catches a good wind.
Right, and kind of drifts from tree to tree. But that's not really wings. I mean, these people describe them as having distinct wings.
Oh, yeah, I remember what I was going to say. About the dinosaur they found with its head under its arm.
Yes.
You know, that could be evidence that, okay, it's a behavioral pattern, it's turning into a bird slowly. Or it could be just as well evidence that dinosaurs had smelly armpits.
And he's checking to see, he's got a date that night, he wants to see how bad it is.
Exactly.
That's
it.
He's
not very sure. He's pretty unsure, and he got caught dead in the middle of it.
There you go.
So, yeah.
I think you got a solution there. Hey,
yeah.
Thanks a lot.
All right.
All right, bye-bye. All right, here we go. Robert, 68 AD. Second question. Since you're having problems with not having enough telephone lines, is it possible for you to use the voice chat feature of AOLIM to talk to people over the internet? Skype is another program that allows you to use your computer internet connection as a telephone. I have no clue. Robert?
Duh.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you email Jonathan at drdino.com and suggest that to him. He does our website stuff. And see if he... I don't know.
Maybe he can email us a link.
I've got 20 I'm not even going to get to today. So I don't know that I need any more, but okay. The Bartman, 47, says, a little more information. Salad Master TP316, surgical grade stainless steel, the only cookware of that grade in the world. Oh, okay. Don't know. That's, we're talking about not killing all the vitamins when you cook your food. Good point. Tim Eagle, 77. You should do something special for National Atheist Day, April Fool's Day. You know, we should. We should have a special deal here at Dinosaur Adventure Land, Atheist Appreciation Day. Because actually, they keep us in business. It's wonderful. All right. See you tomorrow, folks. We'll be live. Get your atheist friends to call in. We love it when they call in. Talk to you tomorrow. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.